USA, the greatest entertainers in America, as requested by you, the men and women in the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week to your home from the hospitals and back from over there. Hi, gang. This is Jack McCoy lugging another Command Performance. Yes, sir, 30 minutes crammed full of the stuff you've told us you'd like to hear in those letters, care of Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. And in charge of answering the mail, we have a pretty singing type gal. Her voice sends a guy. Then he thinks about her figure and comes right back. It's that lovely Lilton, Martha Tilton.
Hiya, boys and girls.
Oh, hi, Martha. I see you got here in spite of those Los Angeles drivers outside. Boy, the way they drive, it's...
Well, Jack, it's not so dangerous anymore since they got that new safety rule.
Oh? What's the new rule?
Well, every driver who can't tell the Pacific Ocean from Hollywood Boulevard must be wearing his rubber.
That's bully for Los Angeles. Well, Martha, it's sort of fun climbing into the old jalopy and cruising around through the pedestrians.
Yes, Jack, it is. You run into so many old friends.
Yes, which makes me think it's about time for a hunk of that wonderful Lilton from Tilton. What's ready in the music department, Martha?
Well, we've cooked up something which I hope will please the gang at Percy Jones General Hospital in Battle Creek, Michigan. The gentleman is a dope.
The gentleman is a dope, a man of many faults, a clumsy Joe who wouldn't know a rumba from a waltz. The gentleman is a dope, and not my cup of tea. Why do I get in a quiver? He doesn't belong to me. The gentleman isn't bright, he doesn't know the score. A cake will come, he'll take a crumb and never ask for more. The gentleman's eyes are blue, but little do they see. Why am I beating my brains out? He doesn't belong to me. To somebody else's problem, she's welcome to the guy. She'll never understand him half as well as I. The gentleman is a dope, he isn't very smart. He's just a lug you'd like to hug and hold against your heart. The gentleman doesn't know how happy he could be. Look at me crying my eyes out as if he belonged to me. He'll never belong to me. The gentleman is a dope, he isn't very smart. He's just a lug you'd like to hug and hold against your heart. A gentleman doesn't know how happy he could be. Look at me crying my eyes out as if he belonged to me. He'll never belong.
You know, you put your heart and soul and energy into that song.
Well, from now on, call me Wilton Tilton.
Oh, okay. Well, now, Martha, I understand our next visitor is the guy who writes all them their comedy radio programs.
Well, that's right. Gang, here comes a man whom I know you've never heard of before, and who is going right back there after tonight's show, Mr. Jack Douglas.
Thank you. Well, maybe nobody has ever heard of me before, but there are plenty of people that nobody's ever heard of. For instance, who ever heard of George W. Aldington? He's the man who invented strapless skin. Strapless skin is for women who don't hold up as well as their evening gowns. And another person that nobody's ever heard of is Gertrude Rumpson. She's the one who went over Niagara Falls in a rocking chair. Of course, she'll never play the violin again. Then there's Farnsworth Fadiman. He invented the smoking jacket with the built-in fire hydrant. Of course, he'll never play the violin again. Then there's somebody else I'll bet you've never heard of, and that's Rodney Poon, the exotic murderer.
Well, Jack, wasn't he the one that killed his wife in a very odd way?
Yes, first he hypnotized her, then he tattooed a knife on her stomach, then he made her bend over. It was a pretty sad affair.
Jack, what's all this leading up to?
Well, just that it doesn't matter if nobody ever heard of you. Your life still may be very interesting.
I suppose you mean like the Jolson story?
Yes, and to prove my point, tonight I would like to present the Douglas story. I was born during a tornado, somewhere over Texas. When I was 3 years old, my father was killed during the Mexican War by the Americans. He'll never play the banjo again.
Jack, I'm sorry, but I just can't believe that part of your life story. Something must have happened to you when you were very young. Didn't your mother tell you it was wrong to tell a fib? Well, didn't she? Oh, what's the matter? Didn't you have a mother?
No, we were very poor.
Well, you must come from quite a family.
Oh, yes. Every Saturday night, we all used to sit around and think about taking a bath.
Think about taking a bath?
Yes, we were poor, but we were clean-minded.
Jack, I think maybe that's your trouble. I think you ought to get away from your family.
Well, maybe you're right, but I can't right now. You see, my aunt has just gone into business for herself.
Oh, well, that's nice. What business did she go into?
She's got a Coca-Cola machine in her bustle.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, how does she keep them cold?
She leans against the Iceman. My uncle makes change.
Jack, you'd better get back to the Douglas story.
Okay. Get set. Slower. Well, I didn't have much of an education. Harvard, Yale, and Princeton. And the University of California at Tucson, Arizona. And of course, in due time, I fell in love. It was an odd sort of love. I fell in love with a rubber glove named Gladys. Gladys the rubber glove. Soon we were married, and in less than a year, we were the proud parents of twins. Both thumbs. My second wife was a beautiful blonde named Joanne. But that didn't last long. Shortly after we were married, she went to Las Vegas for the usual reason. Craps. And then I fell in love with Lady Esther.
Just rub a little on your face, and you'll be surprised at the difference.
Oh, Lady Esther, I love you. I love you madly, Lady Esther. I love you passionately, Lady Esther. Oh, Lady Esther, you're the only one in the world for me. My passion is pent up inside of me, Lady Esther. Please, please tell me what to do with my pent-up passion.
Just rub a little on your face, and you'll be surprised at the difference.
I'm surprised at that joke. A short time after this, I decided to go to work. I decided to become a detective, a private eye. I was sitting in my office one day when suddenly the door opened.
Hello, big boy.
Hello, Asa. What's on your mind?
It's my husband. I just shot my husband and threw his body out of an airplane.
What else is new? You say you threw your husband's body out of an airplane? Whereabouts?
Over Glendale.
That's a misdemeanor. Care for a drink?
Don't mind if I do.
Say when. This is the... Oh, yes. I got some pretty good stuff here, if I can find it. I got some pretty good stuff here. Scotch-type bourbon. I'm sorry I found it. Say when. drink that and you'll never play anything again. Now tell me all about it.
Well, it's the insurance policy. The policy I killed my husband for. I can't find it.
Well, I finally agreed to help her find the missing policy. Thank you. It was 3 o'clock in the morning as we approached 79 Wistful Vista, the old family mansion which had been unoccupied for 27 years. 3 o'clock in the morning, Big Ben was striking his wife. My client trembled as she opened the door to the old place.
Hasn't been open for 27 years.
We better not close it or we'll be here all night. I wonder what's through this door here. No, look, it's a bathroom, a haunted bathroom.
A haunted bathroom?
Yes, look at these bath towels. One bath towel says his.
What does the other one say?
Boo. Gee, what a place that old mansion was. We searched everywhere for the missing insurance policy. We looked down in the basement. We looked up in the attic. We looked in the hall closet. Boy, is he lost. We couldn't find the policy anywhere.
Oh, Jack, you're getting a little silly again. Is this really the story of your life?
Why, sure. And shortly after that, I became a doctor.
Just like that?
Uh-huh. Now, never forget my first operation. What a tense moment. Scalpel.
Scalpel.
Suture.
Suture.
Clamp.
Clamp.
Sponge.
Sponge.
Another sponge.
Another sponge.
Mop. Shortly after that, I was arrested for murder. Martha, I can't read the rest of this. It's too sad. Will you take over, please?
Why, sure, Jack. Ladies and gentlemen, Jack Douglas was convicted of murder in the first degree. As he sat in the death house...
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen.
Please, Jack. As he sat in the death house...
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen.
Jack, please, I'm trying to finish. As I was saying, Jack Douglas was sitting in the death house...
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen.
Well, anyway, on July the 17th, 1946, Jack Douglas was hanged. And now, a final word.
Hello, everybody. This is Jack Douglas speaking to you from Potter's Field. By transcription, of course.
Thanks a million, Jack Douglas. The gang will certainly want more of that.
And now,
gang, remember the contest we had? We asked for letters on what the Constitution of the United States means to me. Well, we had some of those wonderful Hallicraft radios to hand out, you remember? And some other fine prizes. But we feel that the finest prizes to come out of this contest were the wonderful letters you sent. One of the most outstanding ones came from Lieutenant Jim Spencer, who's with the Navy on Saipan. Jack McCoy, suppose you read us what the Constitution means to Lieutenant Jim.
Gladly, Martha. What did it mean to me, hanging there on the wall of my schoolroom? Piece of paper hung a little askew, labeled the Constitution of the United States. Something for me to study. Paragraphs, sections, words to read and try, never quite successfully, to understand. Many miles, many days and years since that paper hung on a dusty schoolhouse wall, futilely saying its words about government, independence, rights. Now a better teacher than in any classroom, living, has taught me the real meaning of our Constitution. Let me try to say how it is. A black-clad judge sits sleepily in his May-warm Midwestern courtroom, yet I've seen how effectively he pursues the truth and defends the right as our Constitution says he shall. A man from Missouri, once a hat salesman, now executes the orders of his many, many countrymen as he serves as their president under that Constitution. The middle-aged, balding man whose judgment I respect from several streets over at home, goes each year to join his judgment together with his equal fellow men to make our laws as provided by our Constitution. All of this that we may pursue our lives in happiness and liberty. Its meaning now, no mere piece of paper on a wall, but a story of living flesh and blood men whom I know dwelling together in peace. No, not merely inanimate paper. Our Constitution is an American pattern for living.
Mighty pretty reading there, McCoy, my boy.
Say, Martha, look who's coming in now. It's the answer to a great big stack of mail orders.
Uh-huh. That clever, talented, personable young man who brought along a stooge from the older generation. It's Charlie McCarthy and friends.
Hello, Hannah. Where's Gophilpus? Now, just a moment.
Please don't talk to the people. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. We have some of the finest people here in town. Well, this is really the 400 of Hollywood.
You don't say.
Yes.
Is it as bad as that?
Yes, it is. Yes, we have here the cream of Hollywood society.
Well, it certainly has curdled, hasn't it?
Well, I don't think that's either here nor there.
No. Tell me, Bergen, how are you getting along? Besides in years, I mean.
Well, I'm doing very well, Charlie. And how are you getting along? Principally in school, I mean.
Oh, that old thing. Well, not so good, buddy. Not so good. I got a test coming up tomorrow, you know.
Uh-huh.
They're messy things, you know.
Yeah. How do you think you'll come out on this examination tomorrow, Charlie?
Well, personally, I don't... I don't think I'll even place or show.
Is that right? Well, I hope that you'll do better than that.
Well, me too. The teacher's beginning to suspect that my IQ is P.U.
Is that Well, I think it's time to buckle down, you know, Charlie, because soon we're getting around to graduation time again.
Yeah.
Do you think that perhaps this year you might just possibly get out of the eighth grade?
Well, I don't know. It's wishful thinking, personally. From what I hear, the rumors going around is that I'm going to be held over by popular demand.
Is that... well, I think you better not.
No.
Now, tell me, Charlie, what is the examination on?
Well, it's physiology.
Physiology.
Yeah.
Well, now, that's one subject that I'm sure that I can be of help to you on.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'll be very glad to share my knowledge with you.
Well, that's awful wide of you.
Yeah.
It's like sharing the hole in a donut.
Yes, all right. Now, let us look at this subject from a scholarly point of view.
Well, I've looked at it at every other angle but that.
Yeah. Let us take the word physiology. Let us take the word.
Yeah, and stuff it. No. You'll double back.
Yeah. No, let's break it down.
Okay, let's pull the legs off it.
No. Now, that, of course, deals with the human body.
That's what it does, yeah.
Oh, the human body.
Uh-huh.
It's a wonderful thing, the human body. Wonderful thing.
Yeah, yes, it is, yes.
Couldn't live without it. No.
I got a list of the questions that we may be asked, you see.
I see.
Certain amount of finagling.
I see.
Mostly about anatomy, I'm told.
I see. Well, would you... I see, about anatomy.
Yes, that's what I said.
Yes, mm-hmm. Well, I think, Charlie, you ought to like anatomy.
I do. On some people, it looks very good.
Uh-huh.
Especially girls.
All right.
Take the blonde sitting over there. All right. Hubba.
All right. Now, Charlie, I really do know physiology and anatomy.
Yeah?
Yes.
It's not hearsay.
No. You remember, Charlie, that I studied at one time. I studied to be a doctor.
Really?
Yes. Sometimes I'm very sorry that I gave up medicine.
Well, yes, but then on the other hand, think of all the lives you saved by doing it.
I tell you, darling, give me the list of questions and I'll quiz you. And to see how many of them you can get right.
Okay.
Now, let's see. The first question, what is it here? Oh, yes, yes. Name the parts of the head. Can you do that?
Parts of the head?
Yeah.
Well, there's the face. And hair, except in your case.
Well, we'll skip that.
A little sensitive.
No, no, no. Next question is, where are your vocal cords?
In your throat. Isn't that just too subtile for a word?
Yeah. Now, see if you can answer the third question. What is the location of the lungs?
The lungs?
Yes.
Well, they're bounded on the north by your neck.
Yes.
On the east and west by your elbows, and on the south by your gizzard.
No.
Carburetor.
No, no, no. Well, now, what are muscles for?
To keep your bones from rattling.
No, no.
How's that?
That is wrong. Where do you find the liver?
Under the onions.
Now, wait. No, 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 no. It is not under the onion.
Well, then it must be next to the bacon.
No, no. Wrong, wrong, wrong. All of them wrong.
Well, at least I'm consistent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Perhaps you can answer this question. What is the function of the heart?
The heart is to fall in love with.
I see.
Some function, eh, babe?
All right. Now, I'll try and explain the heart and circulation so that you'll be able to understand it.
Well, there'd be no point in doing it any other way.
No, no. Now, you see, the heart, it pumps the blood.
Oh, good, good.
Yes. And which is red in color, due, of course, to the hemoglobin.
I Would you mind dragging that past again?
Yes.
The hemohuma?
The hemoglobin.
Really?
Yes, yes. Dolly, do you remember when I took you to the doctor and he said that your hemoglobin was 60?
Yes. I thought that was good for a little squirt like me.
Well, it is not good. 60 is very bad.
Well, I'm very sorry. It's the best I can do.
Your hemoglobin count should be from 90 to 100.
I wouldn't know where to keep them.
You wouldn't know where to keep them.
I got junk under the bed as it is.
I know, I know. Keep what?
What?
Keep what?
Well, those things, what you said.
What did I say?
Well, you know, those little, well, you said it, you.
What did I say?
Weren't you listening?
Yes. Keep those 90 to 100 what?
Those little homely goblins.
Homely?
Eva Jeevens.
No, no.
Hoop and Garner.
No. I tell you, I give you up, Charlie. You're hopeless. How in the world do you expect to pass that examination tomorrow? How do you expect to?
Well, I'll tell you. The smartest kid in our class, you know, has a nervous habit of tapping his pencil during examination, see?
Tapping his pencil?
Yeah.
What about it?
Well, it just so happens that he accidentally, of course, taps out the answers, see? In Morse code.
Uh-huh.
See?
Yeah.
Sneaky, I'll admit, but it works.
Yeah. And you expect to pass the test that way?
Yes, sir, I do. Unless the teacher starts jamming our wavelength.
I see.
Wonderful, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. You always do a marvelous job on Old Command.
And I know somebody else who always does a remarkable job on Old Command, name of Martha Tilton. Martha, how about tilting a tune at the fellas at Tilton General back in good old New Jersey?
Okay, Jackson, here's one I've always loved.
This lovely day will lengthen into evening. We'll sigh goodbye to all we've ever had. Alone
have walked together, I'll remember April and be glad. I'll be content. You love me once in April. Your lips were warm and love and spring were new. But I'm not afraid of autumn and her sorrow. For I'll remember April and you. The fire will dwindle into glowing ashes. For flames and love live such a little while. I won't forget, but I won't be lonely. I'll remember April and I'll smile. I won't forget, but I won't be lonely. I'll remember April and I'll smile.
You're sensational.
Well, gang, we reached the end of another one. We were really loaded this trip, what with the able services of Jack McCoy and a visit from Jack Wildman Douglas, plus the two and only Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
All presided over by that luscious Martha Till.
Well, thanks for your nice letters, and the best of luck to all of you. And good night, everybody.
The program was arranged with the aid of the Hollywood Coordinating Committee. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.